And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Matuta.
And welcome, everybody, to Hands-On Apologetics. You have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, and it's great to be with you today. We have an incredibly special broadcast. First, you know, the sensei is going to be together with his guest sensei, who happens to be my wife, Chris. Chris,
hello.
Say hello.
Hi.
All right. Very good. And so she's co-piloting in the thing that we call Hands-On Apologetics. And, interesting enough, since we have two senseis, we're going to have two guests as well, because we're going to talk about a really awesome book that my wife had read over the summer, and she's just enthralled with it. And I thought this would be great to bring on the show, because earlier John Mark Rodi was talking about the virtues of prudence and how they apply to apologetics, but it applies to throughout life. And so... Chris, welcome aboard. Welcome to the dojo.
Thank you.
And and I guess we have to give our shout out to those watching live stream on YouTube.
We do, because, you know, while you're on here, a lot of the time I get to be talking to the people on YouTube. So I have to say hi to Ricky and Mouse Pal and Beth, and there's other people out there too. But hi, you guys.
Yep. So thank you for watching live stream, Facebook and YouTube. And also all of you listening live on radio throughout the country or podcast. Welcome aboard. No, this is not Bible with the Barbers. It's Apologetics with the Matutas, I guess. So anyway, we're going to talk about a book. So Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about the book?
Well, I will tell you that I saw the title, and the title was called When God Wrecks Your Romance, and it's Orthodox Faith, Unorthodox Story. I don't know if you can see this here, yep. But it's Amanda Vernon and Father Matt Face. And the title automatically engaged me. And then I saw the picture and I thought, oh, how many of us have ever been in a situation where we felt that God wrecked our romance, that he just wasn't on the same page as us. So I went into this book really desiring to hear the story. And the interesting part about this book is that the chapter is broken down where Amanda tells her version, and then Father Matt, I think he's my friend now because I've read it, so I apologize. Father Matt, he tells his perspective. So you're hearing her perspective, his perspective of the same event. And it's very engaging, and I cannot wait to get them on here today.
Okay. Yeah. Well, without further ado, why don't we introduce our guests? Amanda Vernon is a Catholic evangelist who has shared her faith across the United States in six foreign countries. An accomplished recording artist, Amanda co-authored a memoir, When God Wrecks Your Romance, what we just heard. So she uses music, writing, speaking to share her experience of God and the church. And originally from the Midwest, Amanda resides in Phoenix, Arizona with her husband and her four kids. Ages 8 and under. And Amanda, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, thank you. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And Father, Richard, is that Father on the line? I assume it is. So I'll introduce Father. If it's not Father, then I'll introduce him and he can come on board later. So Father Matt Face. Okay. He thinks it is.
Okay.
Father Matt Face is born and raised in Rockford, Michigan. Yeah, that's cool. From the same state. He attended University of Notre Dame for both his graduate and master's degrees, graduating in 2010 with a BA in theology and 2014 with his master's in divinity. He joined the Congregation of the Holy Cross in 2006 as a freshman in Old College undergraduate seminary program. In 2010, he entered into the Holy Cross novitiate in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Professed his first vows in 2011 and professed his perpetual vows and was ordained a deacon September 2014. And on April 11th, 2015, along with five classmates, he was ordained a priest. So, Father Matt, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Well, thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here.
All right. So it is you. Good. All right. So we're all on board.
Yes.
So I'm just going to sit here and be the timekeeper, and I'm going to hand off to my co-host, Chris.
Well, I'm fangirling a little bit with books, I really don't, but both of you just, you engaged me to pick the book up until I post the same day. And I just literally could not put the book down. Kept saying to my husband, you have to put them on the air. You have to put them on. Needs this book, but especially high adults and those people that like really feel like maybe God doesn't have anyone for me, or maybe he doesn't like me, or questions that you go through as a young adult. But interestingly for me, that's not the part I was engaged in as much as her faith and just how obedient she was to Christ, and how walked away from the book thinking to myself, I wish I could be more like her. I need to pray for this. I need to really work on my character and strengthening it to where I'm trusting in Christ more than myself. And so for me, that's what I got out of this book. I also, you look at the cover, you know how the story's going to end. But I kept thinking, oh gosh, maybe they'll get together. But I knew they wouldn't. So to both of you, thank you for just living for Christ throughout the whole thing, and for your love for God and for each other. And I'm going to hand this over to you, but I'm done fangirling. Now you're on. You can tell us about the book and why you wrote it. And
thank you very much. That's beautiful and high praise. So I'm glad you enjoyed it so much.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you wrote it.
Well, thank you for those words of encouragement and affirmation. And I was laughing as you said, like, you know the ending of the story already when you look at the front cover. But my husband, David, as we were reading through the book one final time before it went to print, we read it out loud together. And he would stop me and say, wait. Why? He'd say, why didn't you go with Matt at that point? Why didn't you say yes and start dating him? I was like, hey, David. It's good how it ended up. And he's like, well, yeah, but like, he's emotionally invested in the story also.
And so, I agree.
So I'm glad that we could take you, through our story in a way that invites you in.
You know, Amanda, you brought up David. So I do hope that we'll have a chance to talk about him, because even though he wasn't a main character per se in the book, mm-hmm. I felt like he was. And I also felt like I identified most with him, mm-hmm. being, a wife to somebody in ministry and really someone too who seeks God all the time and makes decisions based on Christ. And sometimes I go, Gary. And he's like, it's what God wants. And I'm like, oh, okay. But I get it. So I want to hear more about him later, if you don't mind.
Yeah, my favorite subject. So yes.
Okay. So tell us about what brought you, both of you, Father Matt and Amanda, to writing this book. Why'd you do it?
I'll let Father Matt answer that one first.
Yeah.
You're on.
We wrote it because we really felt that the Lord was leading us to write this. And at every stage, we kept asking and praying, like, Lord, if you don't want this to happen, you can stop it. Like, please, maybe. But it was clear that at each of those different stages, the Lord was continuing to invite us to write this. So, I mean, the why of it, it's God's fault, I suppose, in that regard.
I love that.
The specifics of maybe how that developed, I think, begins with a specific request, but maybe you managed to talk about that.
Right. So I have been on stage as a recording artist, as you mentioned in my bio, Gary, for years. I grew up, even starting in high school, I began my career as a recording artist. But along the way, I've also been just sharing my own story and my testimony, as well as my original songs. So there was a publishing company that had sort of been following my journey, and they reached out to say, what kind of book would you like to write? Now, I had thought, like, I'd written on my dreams list, you know, like I read like goals for life sort of thing, write a book, but I didn't have a concept of what the story would be or what I read about per se. So I said, that's a good question. What would I like to write about? And as I prayed about it and thought about it, I kept coming back to the idea of writing down my story along with Father Matt, because he's an excellent writer, and his writing always makes me laugh, which books that can make me laugh out loud are my favorite kind.
Right.
And I thought, I think our story is hilarious anyway. So,
it is.
Maybe we can make some other people laugh too. And I remember distinctly I was running, because I like to talk on the phone when I'm running, because it's quieter out in the streets of America than it is in my house with all of my children. So I'm like running and I have my headphones on, and I was talking to Father Matt, and I'm like, hey, did you ever think about writing a book? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, let's talk about that.
Yeah, great. We got to go to a break to listen to Hands on Apologetics. Stay tuned, everybody.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody, to Hands-On Apologetics. And we're talking about when God wrecks your romance. We have Amanda Vernon and Father Matt Face. And also, before the break, we were talking about that you got the idea of this book, but I guess we should probably talk a little bit about what exactly is the book about.
I got too excited.
Sure. So when I initially I've talked with Father Matt about, you know, had he thought about writing a book? And here I am, like, jogging along, like, have you thought about this? He's like, yes. And he said, it would have to be a book of maybe short stories and poems, something short. I thought, okay. So it ended up being Our Story, which is a full-length book. However, as you mentioned in our last segment, Christine, we take turns sharing each of our perspectives. So it ends up being these little vignettes of our friendship. And really, the story is about how we've seen God's hand working in our friendship over all these years. So the point is to demonstrate divine providence in our lives so that others who read this and who come in contact with our story can also look at their own lives and say, how has God been acting and present in my own story as well?
Well, I think you did that.
Well, yeah. So how did you grow up together? Now, the good thing is I really haven't read the book, but Chris has been sharing it as she was reading it. Mm-hmm. So did you grow up together? How did you first meet?
They were 14, but go ahead.
Yeah, we were we grew up in the same area, different parishes, but our youth groups would get together on occasion. And so we met first at a youth group event where I was still in middle school, in eighth grader, and then Amanda was already in high school, a freshman, and she was, even at that stage, already leading music and prayer and things. So she was helping lead the music on this retreat. So that was where we first met. And then,
yeah, I'd like to point out that you are 3 years, did I say years? Months older than I am, even though I was a grade ahead. So I just want to point that out for the record. Okay,
look,
continue.
The details of that, I mean, true. Yes. Okay, yes. So, but then after meeting at this youth group, this kind of regional youth group event, we continued to get together because of our youth groups would do similar things. So we journeyed to the Steubenville conferences together and things like mm-hmm. that.
Right. But it was always in the context of church, always at a youth group event or a broader regional or national conference. And so we never actually spent time together outside of that environment until after Matt, then the seminarian, you know, was already discerning the priesthood with Holy Cross. And so even that, I look back and see divine providence in it. Like, there were many times that I'd be like, hey, let's hang out, you know, not at youth group. And it just never came together for us to spend time outside of youth group. So it ended up that all of our encounters with each other as teens were just totally surrounded by prayer and by community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... So what's interesting to me is that you're both called. I mean, you're called to ministry, whether music ministry or to the priesthood. Around the time when you both first met, did you both feel like a call or vocation, or did that come later?
That's a great question. I mean, I was already into my music ministry, as Father Matt mentioned. I was leading music, directing my peers in worship, and it was around that same year that we met that I was confirmed and really felt this deep awareness of the desire to use my music to tell people about Jesus. So it was around the same time that I was meeting Matt that I sensed that call, as you describe it. And maybe Father Matt could speak to sort of the timing for him.
Yeah, my call to the priesthood started with my family. I'm the fourth of five kids, and my folks talked to all of us about being a priest or a brother or a sister.
Awesome.
So for me, it was always an option. You know, the priesthood was an option, but so was being a teacher or an astronaut or any of those other things. So similarly, though, it was through a lot of these youth group events in middle school and in high school where on these retreats that call, that possibility of the priesthood would always kind of rise up in me. And I'd think about it, and I'd really pray about it, but then I'd go home and I'd kind of forget about that call as well. So it was, you know, really seeing Amanda lead, I think, and helping minister to us with her music in the different ways that that she could engage people in the faith. I think that was a piece that inspired me to think about, you know, what could that look like for me? And then especially in this context of this call to the priesthood that I would feel on these kind of episodic moments.
Well, I know that while I was reading the book, and again, everybody needs to go buy it right now. I had some favorite parts that I dog-eared. And one of them was when Amanda found out that you were at seminary. And sometimes when I read, I'll peek ahead and then kind of come back. I had to stop myself from doing that and just read every single word. Because I'm thinking, call him. Call him right now. What are you doing? And you kept hearing, no. Don't do it. Do not go there. And which I, again, is where I see you being selfless and obedient, you know, and not wanting to be a distraction to him as he was discerning. But then for Father Matt, I don't know how you didn't read through some of this stuff, just saying. But I'm not getting it. But the chapter, what I couldn't say then.
I can answer that question, by the way.
Yeah, I know you can.
A lot of guys.
Yeah,
he's a guy.
I could understand.
Yeah. he's relating. When Amanda talked to you about the philosophy of friendship, and you were like in utter shock that she was talking about. Wait. She likes me, you know, kind of thing. I was like, what are you kidding? Come on. What was going through your head?
Yeah, so look, all right,
like it's clear.
Head, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. So when we very first met, I was in 8th grade, like I said, and Amanda was a freshman. Yeah. Turns out I was older, but I didn't know that at the time. but here she is already leading music, leading us in prayer and adoration. She just seemed miles ahead of me maturity wise. And just her confidence, everything. It was beautiful and it was, exciting and engaging, but I also knew right away that she was just way out of my league. I don't know whether I should agree with that right now. Opportunities.
I like the story.
You know, there's clearly one way that this is going to go and one way that it's not going to go. So from that first moment, kind of having that sense stuck with me, I think, through a lot of those, continued through our interactions. So I kind of had that lens, but also, I mean, I was a teenage boy, so like we're not really that perceptive as like a species.
Yep.
So I'm not commenting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
that was
this. Yeah. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, you know, since I was listening to the audio book version of the book, when my wife would say, you know, he's not seeing it, I thought, this is a typical guy. We're clueless. We don't, you know, all this stuff's happening around us, and we're on our merry way, you know.
And I'm interacting with the text, going, come on, Amanda, go tell him, talk, shake him a little bit.
You know,
and then you would do the perfect thing.
There was a point when we were working with one of our editors in the publication process when she said to me, no, she says, Amanda, your character here says the wrong thing.
No.
You know how you said, like, you need to call him, right? She's like, no, you need to respond to him right now. Answer with your own feelings. This is, you just ignored him and moved on with this conversation. That's wrong. You need to rewrite that. And I'm like,
oh, my gosh.
You know. my teenage self,
like, story.
If only, no. No, but I wanted to comment on how you said, you know, I was trying not to be a distraction to Father Matt, but, you know, just then Matt, the seminarian, right? But it was really also I was blessed to have this faith to really believe that God wanted the best for both of us.
Right.
And that right. God yeah. had a good plan for both of us. So I also knew not only did I want what was best for Matt, but I trusted that God had what was best for me as right. well, like waiting for me if I could lean into God's love rather than trying to manipulate the situation to what I could just imagine on my own yeah. without prayer.
Well, I think that was very apparent with both of you. And, you know, you just in your actions, and I felt like dying to yourself and really wanting to be obedient to Christ is what I mm-hmm. saw throughout the book with you. And then I would see that too with Father Matt. And can I read a little, the prayer that he prayed yeah, for please. You while he was in seminary?
Let's cut it real quick.
Yeah.
Lord, bless Amanda. Keep her safe. Keep anyone from using her or harming her in any way. Bring into her life the right man, a man who will love and cherish her, a man who will lead her to you, a man who is better than me. I have no words. That's love. That's selfless love.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah. One thing on radio, you never want to end the thing with "there's no more words to say." It makes for a boring program. But
I'm a teacher. That,
you know, and but the thing is, it's, you know, both of your humility. It's evident that, you know, that opens up that God can work in that, and you have those grace-filled moments where you decide maybe I should, you know, if it's God's will, it will happen, whether or not I try to force it or not. Or whether I will complete my discernment process and enter religious life.
Right. And yeah, maybe when exactly. we come, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it, right? This sense of really trusting that God desires us to thrive and really trusting that he's going to guide us through that and into something beautiful. Amanda and I were both blessed to be taught that early on and to really believe it.
Very good. Well, you're listening to Hands On Apologetics. We'll be right back right after the break. Stay tuned, folks.
Hi, this is Barbara Nicolosi, and we're having a women's conference here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina on September 7th, 2019. This is going to be a great, great day for you to come and meet a bunch of new friends, wonderful Catholic women who want to deepen their Catholic faith and their understanding of themselves as women. You know, this era right now that we're in, so much confusion. What is it to be a man? What is it to be a woman? You know, the Catholic Church has a lot to say about this, and we're going to hear about them. We're going to hear about John Paul II's letter on women that he wrote from Mary Danielle Barber. She's going to talk about that. She's going to talk about Mary as a model for all of us. It's a topic that we can never reflect on too much. I'm going to talk about Teresa of Avila and the interior castle and how a mystical marriage is what all of us should be called to or are called to as Catholics in our prayer lives, and especially as women in the church. Aileen Blakowski is going to talk about motherhood and homeschooling. And then finally, we have Father Charles Murr. He's going to be the celebrant of the Eucharist. He's going to be here hearing confessions. It's going to be an amazing day. We're going to have an hour of adoration together, time to pray, time to laugh, eat, reflect, grow in our passion for our Catholic faith and our identity as Catholic women. You don't want to miss it. You want to come. You want to bring your friends. You want to bring your daughters, your nieces. That's really an affordable day. So go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and you can register for this conference or call 877-526-2151. The Women's Conference is going to be a great event for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles area, Southern California Catholics. You don't want to miss it.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Talking to Amanda Burden and Father Matthew Face about how God, basically, when God wrecks your romance. And it's a new book that they have out. And, you know, Father, we were talking about, you know, discernment and so on coming up to the break. And Chris and I were talking, and throughout the book, it seems like you, you felt called, but then you didn't. And I think that's really typical with people trying to discern whether they're called to religious life. Like, when exactly did you finally make the decision, this is where the Lord's leading me, and I need to go in this direction, no other direction?
Yeah, I would say I made that decision that, like, I know, like, this, like, the priesthood in the Congregation of Holy Cross, this is where God's leading me. I made that decision, that realization, in, I think, my sixth year of seminary.
Okay. Yes. Is that typical?
Which is,
or, you know, how does that fit in with normal? I mean, do people automatically have that, you know, this is what I want, nothing else before seminary, or is that... The discernment process goes on.
Yeah, and was that before being at the restaurant or after? Just curious.
It would be after. Yeah.
Okay.
If we talk about the book.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's pretty individual for guys, for men and women who are discerning religious life. Mm-hmm. You know, about like when and how strong that call is. So for me, when I was ending high school, I had this strong sense that God might be calling me to the priesthood, maybe. So I knew that, like, if God was calling me to be a doctor, I knew how to figure that out.
Right.
But if God was calling me to the priesthood, I had no idea how to answer that question. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I needed assistance discerning. Mm-hmm. I knew that discernment was a thing, but I had no real idea as an 18, 19-year-old how to do that, right?
Yeah, right.
So I entered the undergraduate seminary, the Old College program at the University of Notre Dame, because it is geared towards helping young men discern, are they called to the priesthood and religious life?
Okay.
It's the sense, you come in and there's daily mass, daily prayer, there's formation meetings weekly, you live together as a community to support one another, and learn about that and what that means and start to be formed, but really just focused on discernment, especially in those first few years. And that, to me, was a great blessing, to really be able to mull those questions over and to take them to prayer well and have a spiritual director for the first time. So it was a call that I heard early and took serious, you know, in high school as I was preparing for college. But as far as, you know, knowing it, it really wasn't until I was through our novitiate and into temporary vows. That's the way we do it in Holy Cross.
Okay.
Before I knew for certain that yes, this is where God is calling me, and this is where He's leading me to thrive and to spread His love.
Right. Yeah. So, Chris, you mentioned the restaurant. And for our listeners, they probably don't know what you mean by the restaurant.
I don't even want to tell too much about it, because
yeah,
the restaurant is a big deal. And it's towards the end of the book. I'll give you that much.
Yeah.
But you want to read it. You don't want me to tell you every, like, you know, amazing thing that happened in the whole story. So
yeah,
you can call me after, though.
It's a moment of revelation for both Amanda and I.
Yeah.
And I was already in the seminary at that point. Yeah. A few years in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to say, your listeners can visit our website, whengodwrecksyourromance.com. There are different videos about the book. You could see us explaining a little more about our story, see some footage of my husband and my kids. And also the, you know, then there are various formats to the book paperback, or you mentioned listening to the audiobook, Gary. So
well, my living audiobook that I'm married to.
That would be me. I would stop and I would be reading out loud from it. I'm not kidding. Oh my gosh, listen to this, is so you, you know.
The obligatory, right?
Awesome. So, but Gary, I don't know if you know this, but Amanda's husband David was in the book in the very beginning too, because David was her crush. When she, I think it was confirmation.
Yeah, my confirmation crush is what I called him.
And then I think somebody swooped in and stole him away, like right out in front of her. that may not be fair, but can we hear a little bit more about David? Because I think he probably plays a really big part of this because he's your husband. And I know that we had talked, and you didn't do this without talking to him first. You made sure that this was something he was comfortable with as well. And actually, he, if I'm correctly understanding, is a very big supporter of both of you telling your story.
Right. I mean, there's just no way we could have, on any level, published this book without David's support. Because, I mean, from a practical standpoint, he made sure it happened, because he's my manager, and he runs the behind the scenes of our ministry. And so we self-published. So he coordinated everything. I mean, all of the editors, all of the interactions with the printer and getting the books to people who are ordering them. You know, he's shipping out books every day as people order them from our website still. So, he made it happen logistically. And then, from, you know, a spiritual standpoint, to have his resolute support just meant the world. Because as Father Matt and I like to share with people, this story that he and I share, it's not unique. Like, there are many priests who have some kind of similar story from their past. But the fact that we're sharing it publicly is unorthodox, as the title, as our subtitle denotes. And I really think it's because of the special grace that David has to, you mentioned humility, like his humility of just allowing for this story to be so public, and his trust in God that our marriage will be blessed through that somehow.
Right.
So I really think that David's like the hero of the story.
You know, I do too. And I think I identify, you know, with him, and I've been able to talk to him a little bit, and he's just such a beautiful person. Of course, it's all texting, but I envision him in my mind's eye of just being this gentle, loving man that is incredibly supportive of both of you. And it sounds to me, from what I've read, that, that Father Matt, you and David have a very good relationship as well. And that you're friends. And I also remember hearing that one of your children, that father is a godparent too. So am I right? Or was I wrong on that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No,
okay.
You're right. Yeah.
I read everything.
Yeah, David, he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. I'm blessed to know him. And I'm thankful certainly for his support. And yeah, absolutely. We couldn't have done this without his full support as he gave it.
Yeah. Right, right. So your ministry now and your husband's role in it, how is that? You said he's your manager, that he's really behind the scenes, but I feel like he's probably more than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so even if you look at this book project really, Father Matt and I worked on writing for 3 years, 2.5 years, and then we had 6 months of publishing. And there were many times during that process where I'd say, no, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm never writing again. I'm never talking to Father Matt again. And he'd be like, come back, come back, come back, come back. He'd say, no, God is calling us to this. We've discerned this. You love writing this. You just have to, you know, like, keep writing. And then if I'd be like upset at Father Matt because creative differences or something,
what did that happen?
David would say, no, you need to keep loving him. You need to keep loving him. And I'd say, fine. And I'd call Matt for a writing session and be like, I'm only calling you because David said I need to.
Oh, gosh. So this was a little bit of a cross as well.
Yeah.
This wasn't all butterflies. What's that?
I wouldn't call it a little cross. I mean, it really, I think in the most beautiful sense, it definitely has been the cross for both of us. The thing that's difficult and embarrassing and awkward at times and confusing and things that people don't understand, especially, you know, when they just first hear about it or see the cover or something. It has been difficult, but beautiful. And I think a difficulty that Christ has been and is still asking us to pick up and follow him. So it's a beautiful cross. Yeah.
I was thinking, I didn't know that there were some problems with publishing, but, you know, that could be your next book, How God Wrecks Your Writing Project.
You know, we may not have a whole list of when God wrecks your whatever. we'll see where the Lord calls us on those.
Yeah, that's a fantastic title, though.
Yeah,
it really is.
You could take that one too.
And Amanda, you know, before we come to the break, mm-hmm. we've still got a couple more minutes. But again, what's that website?
Sure, it's whengodwrecksyourromance.com. So that's the title of our book. So if people go right to our website, they can order the book directly from us, and we'll ship it out to you. David will ship it out to you, and they can even download, you know, the audiobook or the ebook to start listening or reading immediately.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things too I want to bring up is I think that telling the story for both of you is incredibly vulnerable, putting you in a vulnerable position, and I really do appreciate both of you for doing that and being willing to, because honestly, I wouldn't do it. I don't have enough self-confidence. Mm-hmm. I'd be scared, and I would be afraid that people would judge me. And I think that could be out there as well, but I hope that you have more people that are like fangirling over you and and wanting to like increase their faith and draw closer to Christ because of your story, because I know I feel a stronger draw to Christ because of it.
Mm. Yeah, very good. Well, hey, on the other side of the break, why don't we talk about that? Okay. You know, impact on other people,
yeah.
And things like that. Listen to Hands on Apologetics, okay. Folks. And we're talking about when God wrecks your romance. Stay tuned. We got more on the other side of the break.
Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Justin's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody, Hands-On Apologetics. I'm Gary Machuda, and I am joined with my guest sensei wife, Chris. And we're talking about When God Wrecks Your Romance, specifically the book When God Wrecks Your Romance, where Amanda Vernon and Father Matt Chase. And Chris, during the break, you mentioned you have a question.
Yes, I do. Well, I was thinking about how your ministry is evolving. Mm. And, you know, you have the book. But in the book, you also talk about the first time that you were able to present together and tell your story to, I believe it was high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And yes. I'm really curious to hear more about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah. You want to take that, Father Matt?
Yeah, sure. We at the time, I was an associate pastor at one of our parishes in Portland, Oregon. And Amanda was in the Bay Area, connected to a parish down there. And it was the confirmation retreat for their high schoolers. So as there was a weekend retreat, and they needed a priest to come out for it, we were able to finagle it. So I came down for that retreat and led adoration in the mass, and then was going to give a talk as well. And I thought, well, yeah, this is a great opportunity. And as Amanda and I were talking about what we could say, you know, we're thinking, what would we want to say to these high schoolers? And it was, I think the specific topic was something about relationships or chastity, mm-hmm. or something like that. And we thought, well, you know, we do have a pretty good story of the way that we interacted with it. And especially with high schoolers, they seem to respond best to actual experiences and, you know, in a shared story, as opposed to, mm-hmm. to facts and figures and percentages, things like that. Right.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, you know, we got a pretty good story, and we could tell it in such a way that it would be a big surprise as well.
Yeah, that's the first time.
So, yeah. So, you know, that was really appealing, because we thought, you know, we've got something here that really could catch their attention, and then surprise them in the face with a good message.
Man, they were surprised too, because so what had happened was Father Matt was introduced like on the Friday night of the retreat, right? So he gave a little talk, he got to know the kids over the course of the day on Saturday as well. And then when I began my talk, they didn't realize that Father Matt was going to be joining me. And I just talked about this boy who I had a crush on growing up. And then how I was just heartbroken when we weren't getting together. And I just kind of went through the story, but just talking about this boy. And then toward the end, I say, and then he joined the seminary, and they're all quiet. And all of a sudden, you see a few of them like sitting up straighter, just, like, sitting toward the edge of the seats. Now they're like, no, it's not. It can't be, right? And so then well, I finally, I'm like, well, I have a special guest to introduce you. You're like, no, right? Please join me in welcoming. And you hear them just like the girls in the front are squealing like at the top, you know, and grabbing each other. Father, Matt, Face, and they're just gone. So he's walking in there. I lead them in this like round of applause, you know, and wow, it was a shock for them. But it was amazing to see how it seems like they were listening to this vocation story.
Right.
From the point of view of looking at us as young people as well, like relating with what we experienced when we were their age.
Right.
In discernment. And so I think then when Father Matt steps up there as a priest now they still sort of had that like, wow, I could be where you are because I am where you used to be. And that was awesome to be part of.
Yeah, when you can put yourself in somebody's shoes and you can picture yourself in that vocation, I think that opens your mind and your heart even more. And knowing, I mean, vocation could be marriage, it can be the priesthood, it can be whatever, but to be praying for that vocation. And one of you, I can't remember, but you used to pray for your vocation and you used the word vocation growing up. And I thought, oh, that's brilliant. Why didn't we do that? You know, I mean, it was really, I don't remember which one of you did that.
Yeah, actually, we both were blessed to be raised in families that used that verbiage with us from the start. They would talk about our vocation and praying to know our vocation, praying to hear God and to respond when he called our name.
And both of you had families that were very faithful and very, very prayerful as well, that were forming you as you were growing up. I thought that was a beautiful part to the story as well. You know, because you could see that.
Yeah, that was hugely impactful on both of us. And I think especially the fact that from a young age, Amanda and I were both just steeped in this sense of trusting in God and of the importance of prayer and the sacraments. So, you know, I think we were ready, you know, right from the beginning to seek God and to look for his interactions in our lives because of the way our families talked about it.
Yeah, and because it was so, my experience, and I know Father Matt's as well, has of the church has been so beautiful. Like, our, not every experience, right, but by and large, our, like, feelings about being in the church from the time we were young were very positive, were very just wonderful and exciting. And so I'm just so grateful to all of those in both of our lives that gave us those experiences that fostered that rapport within the body of Christ so that it could be something that was so life-giving and just grateful for just God's blessing in that it can be something so beautiful and that even our story when God wrecks your romance, right? Even like the heartbreak of it, in my opinion, in my experience, has been beautiful.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful too. And I remember when you did introduce and had Father Matt walking down, and I remember reading something about that Father Matt, you had said, this is a one-time thing. Is that right? Is it?
Well, I mean, it was not a one-time thing. No, we've frequently given that talk many times. it's evolved, of course, in the telling, but in a whole bunch of different situations. If it would have just been that once, it would have been beautiful and worth it. Right. And the impact that we made on those students would have been worth it. But it's been, my goodness, such a wonderful blessing to continue to be able to do that and to see the way that people respond time and again with this sense of identifying something about our story in their own lives. And that's been really, really, truly beautiful.
Right. Yeah. So if somebody wanted to bring you to their parish or to their youth groups, or how would they do that? Mm-hmm. Would it be through the same website or?
Yeah. So people, if they're interested in inviting us to come to speak or for me to, you know, add some music in as well, they can just go to that same website, whengodwrecksyourromance.com. And so not only is our book available there, but they can find out about, you know, how to contact us and to reach out and invite us, and we'll do our best to try to be there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one walkaway I had from the audiobook was that what I realized is that what attracted both of you was really God and how God reflected in both your lives. And it was really a discernment whether that attraction was romantic attraction or was it just because the other person just reflects, you know, things about God that you found beautiful.
Yeah, I like that point of being attracted to God. And really, I would say that all true attraction is our response to God's goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what beauty is, right? It's God's yeah. presence. And so the discernment wasn't, surprisingly to me, it wasn't whether like we should be in each other's lives or not at all, but rather how was God calling us to love each other? And so this way of me being married to David and having these beautiful children and living in my vocation, and then Father Matt as a religious and a priest, like those are such beautiful paths. But the fact that God then is calling us to continue to be in each other's lives, to continue to share God's love with so many people, that's shocking to me. And man, I'm really grateful.
You know, I just saw your message. I didn't see it. I'm sorry, because I think one of the themes that really did run through your book is that you can have intimacy without having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you had something you wanted to share, and I apologize for not seeing this earlier.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. Do we have a couple minutes left in the segment?
I think you have like a minute.
Okay.
About 2 minutes.
So I wanted to read. So the top comment on our Amazon reviews, it says, loving does not always mean sex. And then this reviewer goes on. She gave us 5 stars. Thank you, Marie. So she gave us just a little description on there. But basically, I was so grateful to hear her acknowledge that. That's not, we don't say that explicitly in our book, but I think it just runs through. And
right.
when you see somebody living the charism of celibacy mm-hmm. and taking a vow of chastity, I think that really reminds all of us that, that love is so far beyond only one type of expression. And as beautiful as marriage is a symbol of God's love. It points us toward that union that all of us will have with the Lord one day when we are all perfectly united in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, boy, it's been great to have you on the program, both of you. I'm so glad that you're able to share with us. And I'm also very excited about your outreach to youth, because I know teenagers, that's their main goal is, where am I guided? Where am I supposed to go in life? How is God working in my life? So your testimonies, I think, are incredibly strong. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you so much. It really, I just feel very blessed to have read your book and then also to now be able to talk to you. And I'm sure Amanda will be texting you every now and then.
All right. Let's stay friends.
I know. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
God bless.
Right, God bless.
God bless you.
And you can get the book, ladies and gentlemen. Just type in whengodwrecksyourromance.com. Pick it up. It's a great read. Share it with friends. That way you can evangelize.
Yes.
And coming up on tomorrow's show, we have Matthew Arnold coming into the dojo. He's going to talk about the confessions of a traditional Catholic. So that's going to be really cool. Coming up next, the High Impact Catholic Talk with the Terry and Jesse Show. Well, it's time for us to shut down the dojo lights and shut down the Midwest Command Center as well. Thank you so much for listening, and everybody have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio. sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.